Grace, mercy, and peace to you. From God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Now, wasn't that one of the most beautiful readings of Scripture you ever heard? We thank you, Emma. That was beautiful. Question, what time is it? What time is it? Now. Where are you?
Here.
Here. You're here and now in God's house, hearing God's word, receiving the sacrament, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of music and prayer, the reading of God's word. Yet most of your week, you're not going to be in here. You're going to be out there. And the world has a different view. The world is a more secular place. The world says, east is east and west, and never the twain shall meet. The world says, we don't associate with those kind of people. But did you hear Jesus? This was his prayer the last night he was on earth, before the crucifixion. This is what Jesus' heartfelt prayer, Matthew 15 through 17, this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. What did he pray? That they may be one as we are one. He's talking to God. May they be one as we are one. Did you ever hear the word pontiff? Pontiff? Do you know what the word pontiff means? What do you think of when you say here pontiff? Pontiff of Rome? The Pope? Do you hear somebody pontificating? You hope I don't do that from the pulpit. It'll put you right to sleep. But pontiff, it comes from the Latin word pontifex. It means bridge builder. Bridge builder. The Pope, Christians are supposed to be bridge builders. That's part of our work as Christians. But for we Lutherans, until this generation, we really didn't have to worry about that too much, because most of the people that we associated with kind of dressed like us, kind of looked like us, kind of ate like us, were like in our culture, our tribe, our denomination. And at the same time, it was easier for these ethnic similarities to take place. I mean, when the German Lutherans came over, they gathered with German Lutherans, Slovaks with the Slovaks, Hungarians with the Hungarians, the Danes with the Danes, the Norwegians with the Norwegians. And they had clubs like where I grew up in Elwood City, you had the Hungarian Club, the German Club, the Sons of Italy, you know. In fact, part of Elwood City was called Little Italy. You know, that's where all the Italians lived. And even in Pittsburgh, you know, a German town, you know, with a lot of the Germans, they kind of came together. Each found more commonality in their ethnic distinctions and language and foods and customs than sometimes in the Lutheran confessions or even the Bible. Now, in the town where I grew up, we had the first Lutheran Transylvanian church, St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Elwood City. And I'm half Hungarian, half Transylvanian. There's a full moon, it's tough. But they started there, and then they moved to Salem, Ohio, and they moved around. They were very, very Transylvanian. Yeah, so it was easy to be in your little bubbles, your little tribes. But now those things are changing. You know, you remember you used to have Ingomar Methodist Church? Now it's Ingomar Church. You know, there's a mix there of Roman Catholics and Presbyterians and Baptists and Methodists and unchurched and Byzantine Rite and Greek Orthodox. You're rubbing shoulders together next to dyed-in-the-wool Lutherans. And the church and society today, there's a variety of people living next door to you. There's Muslims, and there's Jews, and there's Buddhists, and Baha'i, and Shintoists, and people that look different from us, and they have different style clothing and different color skin. And you know what the fastest growing group in America is? The nuns and not the ones we see in Catholic churches. N-O-N-E-S. They said, what religion are you? None. You know, in 1950, in America, in 1950, over 50% of Americans were either in a church or a mosque or a synagogue. 2023, you know how many Americans are in a church or a mosque or a synagogue? 9 to 10%. 9 to 10%. It's changing. We're becoming more secularized. It's changing. Now, when Emma read, who was those people in those upper room today? They were all kind of people. They were all kind of people in our first reading. They were men and women. They were all forgiven sinners, like Thomas, who had doubted Jesus, or Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, or James and John, who jockeyed for position to be number one when the kingdom comes. And there were other people, too, like maybe Nicodemus was there, maybe Joseph of Arimathea was there. Mostly people with brown skin and kinky hair, and maybe as high as 5'4". They were shorter in those days. Nobody looked like most of us. And under any normal circumstances, these people would not gather together. They would not have much in common. They wouldn't hung out together. They wouldn't have had a beer together. So what brought these people together, these diverse kind of people? What brought them together? Well, think about it today. What tends to bring our society together? You know, there are things that people, that today you look around and you say, well, you know, I told you the story before, that when Franco Harris, he caught that immaculate reception and made that touchdown, and my dad was there at Three River Stadium, and you know, people that didn't know each other, they were jumping up and down, hugging each other. You know, they were black and white and yellow and brown, and they were all Steeler fans, and they were so excited, especially when the officials were talking again. Remember, we got the touchdown at first. There was a silence there because they didn't know what happened, if you really caught it or not. And rumor has it the officials were talking together, and they said, well, how's the security here? One said, well, not that great. He said, okay, touchdown. They want to get out there alive, you know. Or maybe sometimes Penguin fans, you see that. Or today you see sometimes the politics, you know, this politician, that politician, people get all excited about it. But how many of us get that enthusiasm, that joy, that vigor from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because, see, that's what happened in that upper room. That's what happened. These diverse people were drawn together. Jesus Christ was the bridge. Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of Jonah, and Mary, Jesus' mother, Jesus' brothers, others were all gathered together. And Jesus brought them together. And what were they doing? They were devoting themselves to prayer together, breaking bread together, waiting together for the word of the Lord. And this God aliveness, this Jesus presence, brought all these different people together. In Galatians, St. Paul picks it out. He says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, because you are all one in Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus was praying in our gospel reading today, so they might be one, Father, as you and I are one. This closeness, this intimacy, this interconnectedness. Or as one Bible translator put it, may they be one heart, one mind, as we are, one heart, one mind. So this is the unity that goes beyond sports, beyond nation, beyond politics, beyond entertainment. A unity from God. A unity we so desperately need today. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, one of my heroes, once said, Jesus Christ is the basis of Christian community. Jesus Christ stands between the lover and the beloved. So if Jesus Christ is the mediator, then we need to know that not only has he ascended to the right hand of the Father, but next week on Pentecost, that he has descended into our hearts, into our lives. And in him, and only in him, can these boundaries be broken down, and not walls, but bridges can be built for all people. Being obedient to Jesus Christ is the way. And if we are going to show the world in the 21st century that the Church of Jesus Christ is one of love and unity, building bridges, we can't be divided and fighting with one another. We have to be together in the Christ reality, being pontiffs, bridge builders in our world, and welcome all people. I mean, how many black people do we have in our congregation right now? How many Chinese people do we have? How many Vietnamese people do we have? How many Buddhists do we have? How many Patriot fans do we have? I mean, I love you guys. This is great. We're the average Lutherans. But to build bridges to invite those people, because in Christ, they are us people together. We need to be Jesus' prayer. Not just to pray Jesus' prayer, but to be Jesus' prayer today. By being pontiffs, this week, maybe you can find that person who's a little different. And it's risky. And they may, you know, like the one time I opened the door for this lady, and she said, "Well, you should do that." And I said, "Lord, help me." But looking back on it, I didn't swear at her. I did the right thing. So I was happy that I said, "Jesus, I was obedient to you." Not what Fred, not my ego, but what Christ wanted. And the Holy Spirit gave me a victory. But, you know, to be a pontiff, reach out to that person in Christ, to help them, to be an answer to Jesus' prayer this week, to be a pontiff, that they may be one. And he means everybody, as we are one. Pray that my challenge to you, and pray that I walk my talk, follow this week and meet that person and build that bridge. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.